Harry, that's Luke chapter 1 where they lose their voice, not chapter 2. Would you pray with me and for me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know if we can imagine what it was like for those shepherds on that night. There they were minding their own business when the heavens explode with heavenly messengers in glorious song. This was not your typical night with the sheep. If you had to guess where God would choose to announce the good news that will cause great joy for all people, I think we would probably likely think of places more like the temple in Jerusalem with the religious leaders that were there, or in one of the government palaces with the people who had political clout. But these guys, these shepherds, these would have been more of a prime candidate for a visit from Mike Rowe, if you've ever seen the show Dirty Jobs, than to hear from heaven. But these angelic choir members, the beaming glory of the Lord in the breaking news, these were not the norm for the existence that likely brought these men some isolation from their community, fellowship with the stinky sheep, and vulnerability to the weather that they would have found themselves in on that night. But God was up to something, and he wanted everyone to know. He didn't just want everyone to know, but God wanted everyone to know that what he was up to is for everyone. So amongst the first to get this message is a group of shepherds, everyday, normal kind of people. And while we don't have a lot of sheep farmers in our midst here today, I know that most of us would be more comfortable at the table of a sheep farmer than we would in a governor's mansion. The good news that God is up to something is for each of us. Now, if we were to sit with this passage and meditate on what it's saying and what that might mean for us, we might find ourselves a little put off. I mean, if God's work is for me, if this good news is for my life, then why aren't there angels singing in my backyard to let me know about this? But I suppose that if we do find ourselves a little worked up over the lack of angelic singers, do we still, though, really need to think that hard about what God is up to in our lives? What work is God up to specifically in this world? Well, we talked about this not too long ago, but God is specifically up to, through the birth of his son and coming into the world in this way, he's up to reconciliation. Long word, but simple meaning. To reconcile is to make a relationship right. And we have a number of points in this scripture this morning that point to God's work of reconciliation in this world. Where do we see God looking to make relationships right with people within this passage? Well, let's just look at it a little bit more carefully. In verse 10, we've already talked about this, but we hear that this is good news that will cause joy for all. We're being told that this is for everyday folk. God was up to something and wanting to make relationships right. And it is for everyday people. It is for everyone. Good news that will cause joy for all. Verse 11 then says a few things about who Jesus is as he comes to us. It tells us that a Savior has been born to you. Anyone here this morning need saving from some mess you've made in your life at some point in the past? Anyone here need healing from any infirmity or hurts? Anyone notice that this world is more than a little broken, and it won't be a politician who can fix it? A Savior has been born to you. To you. Yes, what God is up to is for everyone, But this Advent season, let us open our hearts more deeply to the way that what God is up to is for you. Verse 11 then continues, not only is the Savior born for you, but it tells us he is the Messiah. And we could spend all morning, we can probably spend all of Advent talking about what it means that Jesus is the Messiah, but I want to touch on just this one aspect very briefly this morning. The Messiah was the one that they had been waiting for with anticipation. This baby is the one that you have been waiting for. And so if you know that you are in need of a Savior for any number of reasons, a touch of God in your life, this scripture reminds us that this Savior who is born for you is indeed the Messiah, the one that you have been waiting for. So stop sitting back and wondering when God is going to be working in your life. If you wonder if God cares enough and wants to be close to you and wants to bring the healing, wants to bring the saving, you don't have to wonder. Jesus has come. Jesus is here. God is in the midst of working in your life, whether you recognize it or not. He is the Messiah. One last thing in verse 11. This baby is the Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus is in charge, even as he laid there on the night of his birth. You'll miss out on a lot of what God is doing around you if you don't take serious this reality that Jesus is Lord. If you try to keep Jesus in the back seat of your life, or you only allow him to be the co-pilot in the passenger seat next to you, you will never find the fullness of relationship being made right with God as God intends it. Does anyone like being their own boss? Anyone like being the boss of others? It's hard to live in that place if Jesus is truly Lord. Your heart has but one throne. You can only make one being the most important in your soul. Who is it? If it is Jesus, then we testify to the fact that he is Lord. But if Jesus isn't the most important, you aren't letting him be the Lord that he is. And in some way, in some significant ways, you are missing out on what God wants to be up to in your life and in this world. So as the scripture goes on, the choir kicks in, and they continue to build on this message that the first angel had started. And in verse 14, what does this tell us about what God is up to in the world? Their song is, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And so if we go back to this initial message that the first angel brings, we know that it is good news for all. So on whom does God's favor rest? If this is good news for all, it should be everyone. And what is this blessing for those who have God's favor? It's peace. So if this promise of both the soul angel and then the choir is that God's good news is for all of us, and if God's favor rests on us, then we have peace, then I think we need to ask ourselves, if we find ourselves at a lack of peace in our lives during the season of Advent, why is that? Do you think you lack peace because you're not included with those who have God's favor? Well, I hope if that's where you're at this morning, that you hear God's word and that his favor is on you in your life. But maybe there's other reasons that we don't have God's peace. Maybe it's because we're letting the noise of the world being louder than the voice of God in your life. When we open our ears and too often our hearts to the news of a broken world or the gossip that travels around town. We're giving voice to other things besides God's message. How are you doing at opening your ears and your heart to God's word in your life? God only speaks occasionally with the blast of the angelic choir, but each and every day, the voice of God is whispering into our lives if we would take the time and make the space to listen. There could be other reasons that you find yourself at a lack of peace. Maybe it's that it's not that you're ignoring God's voice, but perhaps even as you open your heart and your ears to the voice of God, you're letting the troubles of this world or the trouble of your life have an equal importance in size as Jesus does. And when that's the case, the peace of Christ will seldom be ours. The angels proclaim on this day the light of the world, the one who is brighter than any darkness or situation that we may walk through. Jesus is bigger than your problems, even as a baby laying in the manger. Jesus is the great physician. There is nothing so broken in this world or in your life that he can't heal and reconcile. If he is Lord, hold him higher than the noise that surrounds you this season. God is working in this world, but how does that happen? Again, we may read this scripture and assume that the only way that God speaks into this world is through the choir of an angelic magnitude, and we may say, well, we haven't witnessed that, and so I don't know if God is working, but how does God work in this world? The scripture tells us that he doesn't simply go to religious leaders and then have them spread the message or somehow force it upon the world. The scripture tells us that God doesn't go to those with political power and have them legislate his peace in good news into the world. This passage tells us that God goes to everyday people, people like you and me, and he works in this message that is meant to be good news, to bring us joy. He works as he extends love and favor, inviting us to welcome his peace. He works in coming to us as Jesus, the one who saves, the one who we don't have to wait for because he is already here. But we have to let him be the most important in our lives. We have to let him be the Lord. God sends his message to everyday type folk to get it started. As those who witness what had happened there on that first Christmas, what does it happen? Well, verse 15 says the shepherds' response to hearing what the angels had told them was, let's go and see what God is up to. They wanted to see what happened. They wanted to witness the work of God in this world. And then verse 17 and 18 tell us that they get so excited about what God is up to, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. At what who said to them? So only the shepherds get the chorus of the angels here. How do the others hear about this good news? The shepherds, the everyday people, are the ones who were so excited about what God was up to in their midst that they shared with others. So God sent the good news to the shepherds, and then he sent the shepherds out to share it with others. So even if you don't have angelic choirs visiting your backyard, do not think for a second that God isn't up to something in this world, that God isn't speaking. I've talked with a number of people who helped last Saturday with the Red Kettle for the Salvation Army, and so far I've heard similar testimony from everybody that I've spoke with. It's what I experienced as well, not being ashamed to extend a Merry Christmas or a God bless. You might think that we all got dirty looks, or, you know, somebody, maybe they reached in and they had some eggs there and they threw them at us. And no, I haven't found anybody yet who had that sort of an experience. I saw hardened and tired faces lighten up in their expression as they heard Merry Christmas or God bless. Even in the cases where money wasn't dropped in the bucket, folks looked me in the eye and returned a pleasant greeting. I even heard one of our pairs of ringers from the church say that a few people stopped and specifically thanked them for using the phrase Merry Christmas as folks came in and out of Tops there last Saturday. We don't need to be ashamed of this message. We don't need to sit back and let somebody else share it. And so whether it's with folks that we see out in the community or people that are closer to our lives, as God comes to reconcile, to make relationship right, we must remember that this isn't just for some. It's not just for those of us who have already found it and have a place to come into worship this season, but God intends it for all. So who might you strengthen relationship with this Advent? When we hear reconcile, we may think that reconciliation only happens, relationship is only made right in the places where relationships are bad. And maybe God will move in your heart to bring peace within a relationship that is not good or broken. But maybe the place where God is looking to work through you this Advent season is in a place of neutral relationship. I found myself moved by the Spirit this week to reach out to a friend from seminary who I haven't talked to in a couple years, and we both have young kids and are engaged in ministry, and so we just haven't taken the time to reach out. And so that's not a bad relationship, but I knew the Spirit was working as I thought I should give him a call sometime. The Spirit said, how about right now? During this Advent season, there are many ways that God is looking to bring peace to this world. We may not have the clout of a politician. Not all of us have the venue of a religious leader that gets to stand in front of a group of people. And yet, you will find yourself interacting with many people this Advent season who need to know a peace, the peace that you have, the peace of Christ that only you can share with them. So during these days, let the Lord work in your heart. Your Savior is here. Let your transformed heart go out to some of the all that this good news is for, to share it in the way that God is calling you to. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for yet another reminder from your word that indeed your message of love and grace is for all. And so, Lord, we open our hearts once again and find ourselves in need of a Savior. Lord, let us put our hearts before you and trust you anew. Lord, let us elevate you above the noise of the world and those around us. Let us elevate you above the importance of our own lives, that you indeed would be Lord. And Lord, as we worship you this season, may we be willing and look for the opportunities to be able to share what you are up to, whether that is through a simple greeting or whether that is through a powerful work where we may work to rebuild or at least begin to build a bridge. Lord, guide us that we would share this good news that is for all in whatever way we have the opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.